Hare Krishna. I sincerely welcome everyone to Sri Radha Gopinath's Gaur Purnima Festival. Special gratitude to His Holiness Chandramali Swami Maharaj for being here. Would you like to sit up here, Maharaj? Welcome to sit here. If you like. And of course to Rukmini Devi, Brajalila Devi, Ekavir Prabhu, Jaishila Prabhu. We have devotees from Hungary and from Russia and from England, from India. Let us very sincerely welcome all of our special guests by loudly chanting. This morning we read a very beautiful composition from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. We began to explain some summary of the background of this composition, but we never came to explaining the composition. So we will try again. Taking up where we left off this morning. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had everything. In those days, being a champion scholar was the highest thing you could do within the worldly society. In those days, people didn't care about the captain of the cricket team. In India, and especially in a place like Navadweep, football, baseball, basketball, cricket, hockey, all these things together could not compare to the prestige of being a scholar in debate. And Nimai, although he was young, he was only in his early 20s. He was not only the undisputed champion scholar of all of Navadweep, the high seat of learning for the whole India, but he effortlessly conquered the world champion, Keshava Kashmiri, who was never, ever, nobody could even stand before him without being academically, philosophically, logically destroyed. The goddess of learning, Saraswati, was so special to him that every time he opened his mouth, she spoke through him. But Nimai did something that was absolutely incredible. He completely destroyed the ego of Keshav Kashmiri by defeating him without making him feel bad. He did it with all respect, and he did it in such a private way that he restored the respectability of Keshava Kashmiri. It was impossible to do that. And ultimately, Keshava Kashmiri surrendered to this boy who was the younger than his own son. So he had the reputation of the greatest champion scholar, beautiful young wife, loving, chaste, widowed mother, friends who dedicated their life and soul only to his pleasure. And the fun that they would have together was unlimited. Friends like to have fun together, yes. Lord Chaitanya and Srivas and Advaita and Gadadhar and Nityananda. They would do kirtan, and the love for each other and the ecstasies they would feel. It was the spiritual world. He was literally willing to leave the spiritual world. To live a very severe and hard life. To taste the sweetness of Radha's love in separation. And also to reach even the most envious, even the most materialistic people in the world, to give them pure bhakti. This is compassion. Patita Pavana Avatar. And as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left from Navadvip to Katwa, and then by Nityananda Prabhu's arrangement to Advaita Bhavan in Shantipur, we met his devotees again. Then was directed by his mother to reside in Puri. We described in brief some of the places Lord Chaitanya went. When he came into Remuna, the place of Kirchor Gopinath, near Balasore in Orissa. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced so jubilantly to see the beautiful form of Kirchor Gopinath. How many of you have been to Gopinath Temple in Remuna? Please raise your hands very high. How many have not been? So, through sound vibration, we will take you there today. It's for a few minutes. When this deity is very ancient, when Lord Ramchandra was in exile, he passed through a particular place with Sita and Lakshman. And Lord Ram told, he was in great ecstasy. And Sita was asking, why are you so happy? He said, I am thinking about my next incarnation. And the wonderful loving affairs we will enjoy in that incarnation. And she wanted to see that incarnation. So Ram, he found a big black shalagram stone, shalagram-type stone, and with his own arrow, Sri Ramchandra carved a wonderful murti of Krishna playing flute. His name was Gopinath. And Sri Ramchandra had Sita worship that deity. And then when they moved on in their travels, they entrusted Gopinath to a Brahmin. And over the generations, the deity moved to some places and was continued by the families of these Brahmins and the community. When Lord Chaitanya came there, seeing the beautiful form of Sri Gopinath, the Lord so happily performed kirtan with his devotees, and gradually the whole village came to do kirtan with Lord Chaitanya, astounded by the beauty of this golden-complexioned sannyasi. And how simply by his glance or the transcendental vibration emanating from his mouth would transform practically anyone instantly into becoming a pure lover of Krishna. He could awaken the innermost treasure of the heart, love of God, instantly. That was his power. And even today, he's giving that same mercy. When he was here, he would instant. But now, the very same gift, but we have to follow his process. He's giving the same mercy through following a process. But as we sung this morning, this process is Kevala Anandakanda. It's very joyful to actually attain self-realization. It's not like, you know, some of these methods to get a little peace or to improve your health a little. It's very simple. You do some little pranayama, or you do a little meditation, or you give a little charity. You can get a little peace from that. But liberation, love of God, the process for this, Shankaracharya in his system, and he was for real. If you wanted to attain liberation, he taught the first beginning step, become a sannyasi. Not only in form, but in practice. Because you cannot be connected to the materialistic sense gratification or the things of this world if you want liberation. It's a lifetime of very, very rigorous study, meditation, and practice. And it begins when you detach yourself completely from the illusions of this world. And yogis, they would go into secluded places and perform very, very severe austerities. Meditation, solitude. Lord Chaitanya is not just giving a little peace, he's giving the crescendo of all self-realization, the awakening of ecstatic love of God. And the process, if we understand what people have to do to even approach the byproducts of love of God, the preliminary stages of love of God, takes lifetimes. Mahaprabhu is saying, just chant your rounds every day. Follow these four regulative principles. Don't commit offenses to the holy names. And develop a nice service attitude. Enjoy nice prasad. Enjoy nice association of devotees. Now, for most of us, even that is so difficult. To follow these four regulative principles, to chant our rounds every day, what to speak of thinking of Krishna all the time, to come to Mangal Arati. This is so inconceivably easy, considered what we're going to get if we just do it. Tapo divyam putra kayena sattvam. Human life is meant for tapasya, for austerity. And the austerities, even if you read, you know, in Christianity what Christ said. If you're my followers, you leave everything of your home behind and you just follow me. And part of the process was practically every one of his followers was crucified or stoned to death or boiled in oil alive or pierced with spears. It's very serious. Mahaprabhu's giving not only what people took sannyas or went to the Himalayas to do severe austerities to get some liberation or to get some salvation. He's giving, and not even just Vaikuntha, or this, the kingdom of God. He's giving the love of the gopis and the gopas of Sri Vrindavan, the most concentrated, sweetest of all revelations of the absolute truth. And you can do it right here in Bombay. Yeah, it's difficult to follow the regulative principles. I know. My heart bleeds for you. I know how difficult it is not to watch your favorite television shows. Not to eat junk food at a neighborhood restaurant. So hard. And to chant 16 rounds. Takes an hour and 45 minutes of my day. And to follow these four principles, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, and no meat eating. Very difficult. And I'm not supposed to drink tea. Why is Lord Chaitanya so hard? He's so easy. And you just do these things. And yes, there will be hardships in life. But the hardships are for everyone. Even if you don't do these things. Hardships are for everyone. But if you just endure the hardships and remain faithful to Krishna, you'll attain perfection. Definitely. We have seen. We have seen simple housewives and mothers and simple devotees just trying to maintain a family, how they're perfectly Krishna conscious at the time of death. It's Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So in his physical absence, he's made it the simplest it's ever been in the history of Brahma's creation to attain spiritual perfection. But when he was personally present, just to make his leelas super exciting, he was giving it instantly. You didn't even have to chant rounds. All you had to do is walk in front of him, and he just glanced. And if you just saw him dancing, you would become an ecstatic lover of Krishna. Instantly. That was Mahaprabhu. If you just bowed down to him. So the Lord Ramchandra carved this beautiful deity of Gopinath. And Sita fell in love with this murti, and that deity was worshipped by pure Brahmins over the centuries, and Lord Chaitanya came there, and everyone was coming and dancing in pure love. And then Lord Chaitanya was thinking about these pots of sweet rice, kheer, that would be offered to the deity. And while they were waiting for the kheer offering to be made, Lord Chaitanya told a story that he heard from Ishwarapuri, his guru, about Madhavendrapuri. Such a wonderful story. How Madhavendrapuri was so humble, yet so exalted. Totally absorbed at every moment in remembering Krishna. He's the very root of the tree of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the Brahma Madhva Sampradaya, he was the first to reveal to the world the Madhurya Ras, the ecstatic conjugal love of the gopis for Krishna. And yet we hear about in the story all the different troubles he had and how Krishna kept testing him, and he kept passing the test, one after another after another. Even the greatest devotees, we see Prabhupada, how he was tested. Why does Krishna test Madhavendrapuri, put him through so many troubles, put him in situations where he has to risk his life, where he has to work so hard, where he has to endure so many reversals? Krishna teaches the world through his most intimate loving devotees. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was a liberated friend of Krishna. He actually didn't require to hear Bhagavad Gita, but we require to hear it. So Krishna put Arjuna in that state of total bewilderment just to show us what our position is and to show us how to come out of that position. So when the trials and difficulties come, all we have to do is think about Prabhupada having his heart attacks at the age of 70 in the middle of the Arabian Sea on a cargo ship. And we think life is actually very easy. Or Madhavendrapuri all alone, being ordered to walk 1,000 miles from Govardhan to Puri to bring large quantities of sandalwood and camphor back for the deity. Now, you know, you just send an email and it comes shipped by courier. But when that order came to Madhavendrapuri, that means he had to walk by foot, all alone, all the way from Vrindavan to Puri. And he didn't have money. Then he had to somehow or other convince people to give him sandalwood and camphor. And it was all under government regulation because it's very precious materials. And he had to get all kinds of permits. And you know what it's like getting permits. Bureaucracy. And then he had to walk back with all that. But on the way, he stopped to see Gopinath and Raymuna. And he heard about this fine kheer that was offered to the deity, that was superb, unlike anything else in the world. And as it was being offered, Madhavendrapuri was thinking, maybe after it's offered, I can taste it, and then I'll know what it's like, and I could prepare it for Gopal when I go back to Govardhan. He wasn't thinking about himself. He was always thinking about Gopal. But even though he had such a pure desire, the nature of a great soul is they don't think that they're pure. If you're pure, you don't think you're pure. If you're not pure, you sometimes think you're pure. This is transcendental logic. So he's thinking, I am, what a sinful person I am. What an offense. I'm thinking of taking the bhoga while Gopal's still eating it. So he stayed for the arati, and then without saying anything to anyone, he left. But then, after the deity was put to rest, Gopinath appeared in a dream to the pujari and said, I have stolen one pot of kheer. It's hidden behind me. Please come immediately and bring it to my dear devotee, Madhavendrapuri. So wonderful. So the pujari woke up. He was resting. He took his bath. He ran on the altar. And there was the kheer, hidden. He was astounded. And he went into the marketplace. Madhavendrapuri, whoever you are, wherever you are, Gopinath has stolen this kheer for you. Come and get it. Madhavendrapuri was just sitting in a lonely place chanting japa. And he heard his name called and he came out. And the pujari embraced him and he embraced the pujari. They're both very special. Gopinath appeared in a dream to personally talk to the pujari. And Gopal, back in Govardhan, appeared in dream personally to talk to Madhavendrapuri. And it wasn't just the kind of dreams that sometimes we have. Back in Govardhan, Gopal said, I'm in the bushes, come and get me. So Madhavendrapuri went, and there he was, Gopal. Krishna personally came, personally. He incarnated in Vrindavan once again just to give Madhavendrapuri some milk because he was thirsty. What a devotee. So these were two very great Vaishnavas meeting. And he gave him the kheer, and Madhavendrapuri drank it and was weeping in ecstasy at the taste. He wasn't just tasting the milk and the sugar and the rice and whatever other ingredients. He was tasting the intimate love in which Krishna arranged for him to receive it. Can you imagine what he was tasting? Krishna permeated that kheer with the sweetest, most ambrosial, nectarine flavor. It wasn't of this world. And then Madhavendrapuri took that little clay pot and broke it in pieces. He kept the pot, and every day after that he would break a little piece and eat the clay pot, and he would taste the same nectar. Because he wasn't tasting with his mouth, he was tasting with his heart, with his soul. That's love. When we're actually honoring prasad on an elevated platform, we're not taking the prasad just with our tongue and our lips. We're using that, no doubt, but we taste it with our heart. We taste it through our love. According to our love, prasad gets better and better and better. Because Krishna is not different than prasad. So if no other reason, we should aspire to love Krishna, just so we can enjoy prasad more. What a gift. Because as we have unconditional love for Krishna, Krishna manifests to satisfy his devotee. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains like this, that to the degree we have no desire for our own enjoyment, Krishna gives us enjoyment. The gopis were willing to go to hell forever if it would give Krishna one moment of relief from a headache. absolutely selfless service. They wanted nothing for themselves. But Krishna gave them the highest pleasure. So if you want to be happy, there's a simple formula. Stop trying to be happy. Just try to make Krishna happy. And Krishna will, if you stop trying to be happy and focus your full energy in making Krishna happy, then Krishna personally takes the responsibility to give you the ultimate happiness. But as long as we're trying to make ourselves happy, then it's us against Maya. It's just you trying to be happy, and the whole material energy, which is designed by Krishna to thwart your attempts for happiness. So those are our choices. And then Madhavendrapuri became very famous because Gopinath stole the cure for him. This was a very, very special. It was really news in Orissa. But he didn't want to be adored by anyone. So he quietly left that place. But everywhere he went, people knew him, so he would just quietly leave every place. Until he came to Puri, and even the pujaris of Jagannath knew about the great Madhavendrapuri, who Gopinath changed his name just for Madhavendrapuri. From that day on, his name is Kirchor Gopinath. He's named after Madhavendrapuri in one sense. So in Puri, then Madhavendrapuri understand that I could use for my own adoration, I will run away from this fame. But if I can actually use it in Krishna's service, I'll take it as an austerity and use it. Because they were willing to get all the sandalwood and camphor for him. So he stayed. And he had to bring it all the way back to Govardhan. Now in the Indian train systems, it's probably about a 50-hour train? Yes? Can you imagine walking? And in those days, like we were saying this morning, he had to go through Bengal, he had to go through Bihar, he had to go through some very dangerous places. Jharkhanda jungle. They had to go through Uttar Pradesh. They weren't called these places, though, but it was very difficult, a lot of dangerous places. But he didn't think twice. Gopal's calling, I must. But he stopped in Ramuna and saw Gopinath. And then Gopinath appeared to Madhavendrapuri, or Gopal appeared to Madhavendrapuri and said, actually, you've come so far, no need to come all the way to Govardhan because I'm not indifferent than Gopinath and you're there, so just give all the sandalwood and camphor to him and I will become very happy and cool. So as Lord Chaitanya was remembering the story of the love between the Lord and his devotees, he was so much in ecstasy. And then, as he completed the story and he was talking about the greatness of Madhavendrapuri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was overwhelmed, tasting the sweet nectar of his devotees' love. Then the offering came off, and they gave all the pots of kheer to Lord Chaitanya. He gave one pot to each devotee, and then he gave to other people, and then he ate. And with such enthusiasm, he was glorifying the taste of this kheer, the spiritual potency of this kheer. Just recently, Gauranga Prabhu brought me a clay pot of kheer from Kheer Chor Gopinath. But there's none left, so I'm... indescribable. And then Lord Chaitanya, after he tasted the kheer and he was praising Madhavendra Puri, he was running around and chanting the beautiful prayer Madhavendra Puri chanted as he was leaving this world. A prayer of loving separation from Krishna. This mood of separation was supremely personified in the prayer of Madhavendra Puri. It was the same prayer that Radharani offered after Krishna left Vrindavan. And when I was with Ekavir Prabhu and Brajalila Devi in Gita Nagari a few years back, during the last 7.5 weeks of His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj's pastimes in this world, every day, for between 1 and 3 hours, we would discuss from the first day till just the day before he departed, we discussed this prayer. We would read this prayer and discuss this prayer, and then the discussion went into so many connecting realizations to this prayer. And in my own life, I have never experienced such a deeply intimate, satisfying relationship with any other person as what we shared during those months together, discussing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appreciation of the love and separation of Sri Madhavendra Puri. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then, on his path to Puri, he stopped at Sakshi Gopal Temple. And there Nityananda Prabhu, who had traveled in the past, told the story about the old Brahmin and the young Brahmin who traveled around and ultimately came to Vrindavan. And the old Brahmin was so grateful to the young Brahmin because he served him. He could have never survived this trip without the selfless service of his comrade. He selflessly served this old man and tended to his every comfort and facilitated his every spiritual need. And he wanted to reciprocate. The old man wanted to give something. And the most dear thing in his life was his daughter. He said, "I want you to marry my daughter." Now, in case any fathers approach any of your brahmacharis, please listen to this story. Listen to this story very carefully, because things are not as easy as people present them to be. He said, "But I'm from a lower caste of Brahmins than your family. Your family will never accept us." He said, "No, they will accept. It is my desire. They will accept. They have to accept." So the young Brahmin, he didn't care about getting married or not getting married. He just wanted to serve this old person. He didn't want him to lie. He said, "If you're going to promise me, then give a promise before the deity of Gopal." So he went before Gopal and said, "I will give my daughter in marriage to this boy." And then the young Brahmin said to Gopal, you are the witness. If there's any trouble, we'll be back. So sure enough, the elderly Brahmin told his family, and they said, no way, he's from a lower caste. And the son was absolutely furious, and the wife threatened to commit suicide. Yeah, same old stuff. Times change, but human behavior doesn't change. But for the old man, this is very serious. What could he do? And then his son started making blasphemous statements against the young Brahmin. He gave him some drugs, some kind of intoxication, and made him make this promise, and the whole purpose was he wanted to rob him and steal him, and now after he's already robbed and stolen and abused his father, now he wants to take his daughter. He was spreading this around. It was very blasphemous. Lucky there was no internet in that. People have their motivations, and they're so selfish, they don't care about destroying others just for their own purposes. So the young Brahmin didn't want the old Brahmin to tell a lie to Krishna, so he came to the house and said, what about the promise you made? And the old man didn't say anything because he was afraid his wife would kill herself and his family would kill themselves and everything else. And his son came and chased the old big boy away and started screaming at him. And it was a big scandal. And in front of the town, the boy was being threatened and accused of lying. And the boy said, well, Gopal was the witness. Where's Gopal? He's in Vrindavan. Said, if I bring him here, then will you believe me? And even the old Brahmin's family said, if you bring him here, we believe you. No problem. It's impossible. So he went to Vrindavan, and he told Gopal that I don't care personally, but I don't. This poor Brahmin he's in a very difficult situation. He wants to keep his word, but his family is not allowing him to do it. So to save his spiritual life, this is very important. This is their integrity. To tell a lie was considered such a serious, grievous transgression to one's spiritual life. Sometimes today people are so whimsical, they talk, whatever they say, the end justifies the means. But this is the last surviving leg of morality in Kali is truthfulness. And the integrity of one's word is sacred. It's not something to play with. Even in ordinary dealings. And this is how the boy was so concerned. So he told Gopal that this man's life is going to be ruined unless you save him. So come. Come from Vrindavan all the way to Vidyanagar, which was well over 1,000 kilometers. And he was talking to the deity. And the deity talked back. He said, I'm a deity. I can't walk there. And Prabhupada tells the story. And Prabhupada tells it in this way. He said, the young Brahmin said to Gopal, he said, if you can talk, you can walk. Prabhupada said, Krishna was defeated. He said, all right, I will walk. but if you ever look back to see me, I'll stop right in that place. But you'll know that I'm behind you because you'll hear my anchor bells going. So every day they walked, and the young Brahmin made offerings, but he couldn't look back. He would just make the offering. I don't know how he did it, but he made offerings, but never looked back. And they walked over 1,000 kilometers, and then they came to the town. And then he looked back and saw Gopal. Can you imagine finally looking back and seeing the deity after weeks of walking and just hearing his ankle bells? And then the deity spoke and gave witness before everyone. And they got married. But it was a good marriage, because for the rest of their lives, the husband and wife were pujaris and just served Gopal in the temple. They dedicated their whole life to the loving pleasure of Gopal. And they continued their journey. And we discussed this morning Lord Chaitanya's visit to Bhuvaneshwar. And from there, they came to Kamalapur. And near that place, there is the Bhargi Nadi River. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to take his bath. Just before, he entrusted his danda to Nityananda Prabhu. He said, please hold my danda while I take my bath. He went in to take his bath. Then the Lord went to the Kapoteshwar Mahadev temple, beautiful deity of Lord Shiva, still there today. While the Lord was at Kapoteshwar Mahadev, Nityananda Prabhu was looking at this Ekadanda. And Nityananda Prabhu spoke to the danda. He said, the Lord that I carry in my heart is carrying you. This is not right. And he broke the danda in three places and threw it in the river. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came from Kapoteshwar Mahadev, and they continued their journey. From that time, this river is known as the Dandabhanga Nadi, the place where the danda was broken. And close by, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had the first vision of Lord Jagannath's temple. He saw the chakra on the top. There's a special benediction in Puri where Lord Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra, their full potency of their darshan is manifested within the chakra on top of the temple. So by worshiping that chakra, by taking the darshan and offering your heart and love to that chakra, it is non-different than Jagannath inside the temple. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered his dandavat pranams, and he became ecstatic, thinking about seeing Lord Jagannath. He began to recite a verse. Look, standing before the temple is a smiling Gopa boy with a lotus face who is gazing at me. And as he chanted that verse again and again and again, he kept offering his obeisances again and again and again. And his intense separation from Jagannath was so overwhelming. From Kamalapur to the Jagannath temple is 6 miles. But for Lord Chaitanya, it seemed like thousands and thousands and thousands of miles. Just like for the gopis, and Lord Chaitanya was in the gopis' love and separation. In the absence of Krishna, they would think a moment to be 12 years or more. And they criticize Lord Brahma for making eyelids that blink. Now all of you, I see you all blinking. You don't even know you're blinking because it doesn't interrupt your vision at all, does it? But you're blinking. It's like, Antoine, Erwin, Erwin. But the blink is so, it's a nimesh. It's a moment. That's, according to the Shastras, that moment that we talk about, moment, is the amount of time that the upper and lower eyelid, when you involuntarily blink. But for the gopis, they criticize Brahma. When they're standing in front of Krishna and they blink like this, it seems like years of separation. That's the intensity of their love. Now, to walk from Kamalapur to the Jagannath temple, for everyone else, it takes 1.5 hours. But for Lord Chaitanya, it took over 9 hours. Because he kept gazing at this chakra in top of the temple, and he kept reciting this verse. Look, standing in front of the temple is a Gopa boy with a lotus face who's gazing on me. And as he'd say that, tears would burst from his eyes and his heart would explode in emotion, and he'd offer his dandavats again and again and again. And finally, he arrived at the temple. And as he went through the Singhadwaram, he looked ahead. And the very object of his meditation and his love that he was focusing on and crying for throughout his whole journey from Shantipur, Lord Jagannath, was now within his eyesight. Personally, directly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went mad in ecstatic love and swiftly ran toward the altar to embrace Jagannath. And just when he approached, his ecstasy became so overwhelming that he fell to the ground unconscious. Now it just so happened that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was the guru and teacher of the king of Puri, the greatest scholar of the time, he happened to be there and he saw what happened. Meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya is just laying on the ground, and the watchman of the temple with his stick started shouting at Lord Chaitanya, "Get up, get up!" And Lord Chaitanya didn't get up. And the watchman was about to punish him. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, seeing the beauty of the Lord, and seeing how he was a sannyasi and suspicious that this was some sort of unbelievable ecstatic transformation, he stopped the guards. But then the bhog offering was being made. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya himself and some of his students and the watchmen, they all carried Lord Chaitanya to Sarvabhauma's house. And in the most sanctified part of his house, he put Lord Chaitanya's body. And he saw there was no movement of Lord Chaitanya's abdomen whatsoever. And there was no sign of his breathing. There was no sign of life. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was really a scholar of the scriptures. So he took piece of cotton and put it in front of Lord Chaitanya's nose, which was beautiful like a sesame flower. And the finest, finest little particles of that cotton slightly moved. Very subtle. And at that point, Sarvan Boma Bhattacharya understood this is an extraordinary personality who is immersed in the highest forms of ecstatic transformations due to love of God. So he was trying to do whatever the scripture says to bring somebody out of this unconscious ecstatic state. But nothing worked. Meanwhile, I'll go back a little. When they came to the Ataranala, which is a bridge with 18 arches, Lord Chaitanya asked Nityananda Prabhu, "Give me my danda." And Nityananda Prabhu replied, "Oh, your danda. You went into ecstasies due to love of Jagannath and you fell on top of me and I tried to catch you and we both fell on top of the danda broke in three places and now I don't know where it is. So if I made any offense, then punish me whatever way you like." And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that danda is the one and only possession of my life, and I entrusted it to you, and you lost it. This danda represents the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, here in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains the significance of Nityananda Prabhu breaking that danda. Because when one becomes this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, first of all, for the purpose of reaching the most amount of people, he took sannyas in the Mayavad Sampradaya of Shankaracharya, where they have one danda, which signifies that everything is one, that I and God are one. But the Vaishnav danda is Tridanda, which means I'm the eternal servant of God, and I serve the Lord with my body, my mind, my words, and my life. So Nityananda Prabhu, knowing the Lord was a Vaishnav, he made the Ekadanda into a Tridanda by breaking it in three places. But he was also thinking that one, when one attains the Paramhamsa state, that one doesn't use danda anymore. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is more than a Paramhamsa. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Nityananda Prabhu never agreed with Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas in the first place. Why does my Lord have to carry this danda around with him? He's beyond Paramhamsa. He's the Supreme Lord. So he threw it in river. But Lord Chaitanya wanted to, he was playing the role of a devotee and teaching devotees their own proper standards. So he was mildly angry. And he told Nityananda Prabhu and the other devotees, he said, "I will not go with you to Puri. Either you go in front or I will go in front." And Mukunda, he said, "My Lord, we cannot go in front of you. You go and we will go after." Then he went into Jagannath's temple. So while he was in Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house, Nityananda Prabhu, Mukunda, Jagadananda, Damodar, they all arrived. And they were at the Singhadwaram. And Gopinathacharya was the brother-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And they were both originally from Nadia, from the Navadvipa area. We read how Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was one of the greatest schools of learning. He made Navadvipa very famous because of the six schools of philosophy. The Nyaya philosophy, the only place you could learn it was Mithila, because they had a scripture there. And Navadvipa had excelled in every other form of philosophy teaching except that. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya went there, and not only did he learn it from the teachers, but he memorized the entire scripture and came back to Navadvipa to teach it. And at that point, Navadvipa was all the six systems of philosophy could be taught with full authority there. So there was no place like it in the world. And he was such a scholar and such a teacher. People were flocking from all directions to learn from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. King Prataparudra in Puri called him to live there to be the royal pundit, teacher for the whole kingdom. So for that reason, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya moved from Navadvipa to Puri long before. So Gopinathacharya was old friends with Mukunda Dutt. And when he saw him, he was very happy. And immediately Gopinathacharya asked the devotees at the Singhadwaram, "Where is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?" And the devotees said, "We just heard, just here at the Singhadwaram, we heard people coming out of the temple talking about how this big, beautiful, golden sannyasi had just fallen unconscious in ecstasy and was brought to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. Do you know where that is?" He said, "Yes, he's my brother-in-law." They went. And Sarvabhauma let them in, and there was Lord Chaitanya laying on the ground. They were so happy to see him, but in that condition they were very alarmed. And they all paid their obeisances, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya offered his obeisances to Nityananda Prabhu. And then sent his son, Chandaneshwar, "Please bring them for the darshan of Jagannath, and then come back." They went into Jagannath's temple. And Nityananda Prabhu, seeing Lord Jagannath, began to wheel in ecstasy, and the devotees had to hold him up. And the garland brought Jagannath's Mahaprasad garland and put it on Nityananda Prabhu's neck. Then they came back, and they gathered around Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and loudly performed kirtan of the chanting of the holy name. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all of a sudden, he rose up and loudly cried out, "Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!"
And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya bowed down to him. And it was a very, very beautiful experience. Then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya he told Lord Chaitanya, "I would like to offer you prasad." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Just give me some boiled vegetables." And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya brought all wonderful Jagannath prasad. And he said to the Lord, he greeted the Lord with Namo Narayanaya, which is the greeting that Mayavadi sannyasis usually give to each other, which means, "I offer obeisances to you, O Lord Narayan." And Lord Chaitanya replied very humbly, Krishne Matir Astu, which means may your attention always be on Krishna. So immediately, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya understood, this is a Vaishnav. He's a Vaishnav sannyasi. And then he brought Jagannath's prasad, and he said, today you will eat exactly what Jagannath ate. And he gave him all wonderful, wonderful dishes of prasad. And he had Lord Chaitanya first go and take his bath in the sea, and had him see the beautiful form of Lord Jagannath. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked by Sarvabhauma. Actually, he asked Gopinathacharya right in the presence of Lord Chaitanya. He said, tell me, what is the previous situation of this sannyasi? He said, he's originally from Navadvip. And his grandfather was Nilambar Chakravarti. And his father was Jagannath Mishra. And he told them about. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was very, very happy to hear this. He said, actually, my father, Maheshwar Visharada, he was a classmate of Nilambar Chakravarti, and they were very best of friends. And also my father had very high respect for the great pure-hearted scholar, Jagannath Mishra. And we're both from Nadia. So he had instantly had very, very special affection for Lord Chaitanya. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to Lord Chaitanya, I want to be your personal servant. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said in reply, Sri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai, I think we should end here. But I'll just end with the reply of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then we will continue. Lord Chaitanya, Sarvabhauma says to Lord Chaitanya, I am your servant. How can I serve you? Lord Chaitanya said to him, you are a great scholar. You are a teacher of Vedanta. And I'm very young. And actually, I don't know anything. Lord Chaitanya says this to Sarvabhauma, I take shelter of you. And I accept you as my spiritual master. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was so deeply moved in his heart by the humility of the Lord. Now please try to understand the compassion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What does preaching really mean? Preaching means transforming people's hearts. And in this case, Lord Chaitanya's teaching, if you really want to transform somebody's heart, you have to win their trust. You have to win their affection. And Lord Chaitanya did it so expertly. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Oh, then Lord Chaitanya said, he said, you saved my life. When I was in the temple, I acted in ways that were very improper, and you saved my life by bringing me home to your home. And Sarvabhauma, he said to Lord Chaitanya, from now on, you should not go into Jagannath's temple alone. You should go either with me or with my assistants. And Lord Chaitanya said, from now on, not only will I not go alone, but I will stand at the Garuda Stambha. I will not go into the temple room directly. Then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told Gopinathacharya, please take him to see Lord Jagannath. And also Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya arranged for an accommodation at a very secluded, quiet place which was an apartment owned by Sarvabhauma's maternal aunt. So Sarvabhauma was making all arrangements because he really loved Lord Chaitanya, his qualities. The next day, Gopinath Acharya and Lord Chaitanya went to see Jagannath, and then Mukunda and Gopinath Acharya went to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was explaining to these two devotees how this sannyasi, he is so meek, and he is so humble, and he's so beautiful. My affection for him is just increasing and increasing and increasing. Please tell me, which sampradaya did he take sannyas? He took sannyas from Kesha Bharati. He said, Bharati? That's a second class sampradaya. And Gopinath Acharya, he said, you have seen the qualities of Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya. He's not dependent on a sampradaya. These are all external formalities. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he said, but he's a youth. He's only 24 years old and he's so beautiful. How will he ever maintain his vows as a sannyasi unless I personally read Vedanta to him constantly to enrich his intelligence and give him spiritual strength? And also, I will elevate his sannyas status to a first-class state, a Saraswat sannyas, if he permits me to do so. Gopinath Acharya and Mukunda were really disgusted with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He said, you don't know. He is the supreme personality of Godhead. He doesn't need you to elevate him. And the disciples, they gave a really good reply. They said, what evidence do you have that he's the supreme personality of Godhead? Anybody could say anything, but where's the evidence? And he said, it is the words, the realizations of the great acharyas that substantiate that he's the supreme personality of Godhead. And the shastras as well. And the disciples of Sarvabhauma said, we will not accept it unless you can prove it through logical hypothesis. And Gopinath Acharya was becoming quite disturbed. He said, you cannot understand who the Supreme Personality is by logical hypothesis. The only way is when one receives the mercy of the Lord. And then he turned to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, his brother-in-law, and he said, you are a great scholar of Vedanta, and you have sannyasis and so many other people from all over the world coming to study you, but you cannot understand that he's the supreme personality of Godhead because not even a single tinge of mercy has touched your heart. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, well, what is the evidence that he didn't even argue. He said, maybe I don't have mercy, but what's the evidence that you have mercy? And Gopinath Acharya said, one who has knowledge of the summum bonum, the supreme personality of Godhead, that is the evidence of mercy. But you, Sarvabhauma, even though the absolute truth, the supreme Brahman, the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna, is right in your own house, and you have seen his ecstatic transformations, you cannot understand it because you are totally in illusion. Even a good seed cannot grow in a barren field like your heart. Simply a dry, speculative philosopher. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya smiled. He was a very cultured person. He smiled and he said, Gopinathacharya, we're just having a friendly discussion based on scriptures. Why are you getting so angry on me? And then he said, besides that, according to the scriptures, the Lord is known as Triyuga, which means he does not appear in the age of Kali. He appears in three yugas. And Mukunda was really becoming very disturbed. Gopinathacharya, he said, this means that the Lord doesn't come in Kali Yuga as a Lila avatar, but he does come as a Yuga avatar. And he quoted the scriptures. Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Varnam Tvasa Krishnam Sangopangasha Parashanam Yagyai Sankirtana Priya Yajante Hishu Medusha. And he quoted from the Vishnu Sahasranam of the Mahabharata, describing how the Lord will, who appears within this age of Kali, and he takes sannyas. And he quoted other shastras as well. And then he quoted how in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Garga Muni said that the Lord will come in three. He comes in a white complexion, a red complexion, a yellow complexion, and now he has appeared in the house of Nanda Maharaj in a black complexion. So the yellow the golden complexion is for Kali Yuga. And here he is. He's right in your house. You see him, but you can't see. You see, but you don't see. Why? Why am I even bothering quoting scriptures to you? You're just a dry speculator. And your heart's just like a barren field. Only when the Lord is pleased with you and shows his mercy to you will you understand this. Then they went back and they told Lord Chaitanya about this debate. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, don't speak that way about Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He has shown so much kindness to me. He's so merciful to me. He has great affection for me. And not only that, it's only out of parental affection and love for me that he wants to protect me. So what is his fault? Even though he was a Mayavadi, even though he didn't accept the Lord for who he was, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was only seeing good in him. In fact, he was defending his position. The next morning, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya brought Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Jagannath's temple. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya gave a special seat to Lord Chaitanya, and he sat on the floor at the feet of Lord Chaitanya. And then he began to instruct Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Vedanta philosophy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to him, with great humility and with such loving friendliness, he said, Lord Chaitanya is saying this to Sarvabhauma. He said, you are superior to me. And you're very merciful to me. And you are telling me that I should understand Vedanta philosophy. Therefore, as your servant, accepting you as my spiritual master, it is my duty to hear philosophy of Vedanta from you. So please, instruct me. What a preacher. We find when Mahaprabhu was later in Varanasi, that's how he softened the heart of Prakashananda Saraswati and the Mayavadi sannyasis. With his humility, He didn't come in and say, you're a Mayavadi and I'm a Vaishnav and you're bogus nonsense rascal. No, he sat in the place where all the Mayavadis washed their feet. And Prakashananda saw his beauty and his effulgence and said, you're a Swami. Why are you sitting in that dirty place? Come and sit with us. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, no, I'm not worthy to sit with you. And then Prakashananda brought him up. He melted their hearts. For 7 days, Lord Chaitanya sat silently to hear Vedanta from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And on the 8th day, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, do you understand what I've told? And Lord Chaitanya said, I'm a fool. That's what he told Prakashananda Saraswati too. He said, I'm a fool. He said, I'm a fool. Actually, I didn't understand anything you said. Said, you've been sitting here listening for 7 days. You didn't understand anything all day, every day. Why? At least you could have asked some question or asked something for clarity. Why? You didn't say anything. And the Lord said, the sutras of Vedanta, I understand them very easy. They're very clear. They're self-evident. But your explanations simply agitated my mind. And we will continue tomorrow. Because we should have some kirtan for Radha Gopinath. And then everyone get nice rest. And we will celebrate Gaur Purnima. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very, very much.